shopping, or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinkertoys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinkertoys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinkertoys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, Lou Belliano. She was the sunny, raspy-voiced, perfect wife of James Stewart, Van Johnson, and other movie heroes. June Allison has died. Her daughter Pamela Allison Powell made the announcement today. Her mother was 88. MGM signed her to a contract, and she appeared in small roles in Thousands Cheer and Girl Crazy. And Two Girls and a Sailor, her winsome beauty and bright personality connected with U.S. servicemen. Allison died Saturday at her home in Ojai, California, with her husband of nearly 30 years, David Ashro, at her side. Another reason to stock up on fish, or at least fish oil, prevention of age-related macular degeneration. CBS News national correspondent Dan Revive has the details and joins us live from Washington. Dan.
Lou, almost one out of three people over age 75 find their eyes getting seriously worse. About 7% go blind. But in the archives of ophthalmology, evidence that your habits, bad or good, can affect your risk. Boston-based researcher Johanna Seddon.
Cigarette smoking increases the risk by almost twofold, and also a behavior that can decrease the risk, and that is eating a healthy diet, particularly one that contains omega-3 fatty acids.
That's the good fat found in fish such as salmon. Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
A court ruling today on that FBI search of a congressional office. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says it was not a violation of the separation of powers.
China has not...
House Republican leaders were so angry about this unprecedented search of a congressman's office that President Bush intervened to minimize the political damage, putting everything obtained in the search under seal for 45 days for the Department of Justice and leaders of Congress to work out a compromise. That hasn't happened. The 45 days, though, is over, and now the judge in the case says the prosecutors can use what they found.
A divorce dispute and attempted suicide may have fueled the explosion that leveled a four-story building and hurt 15 people in New York City this morning. A police investigator says the building's owner emailed his wife that she'd go from gold digger to ash and rubble digger. The husband used his cell phone to tell rescuers where in the rubble he was. A bartender at a Lakeside, Wisconsin supper club says he thought half the town blew up. Authorities think a propane gas leak touched off an explosion that killed two people and splintered several buildings in a Door County resort town. Several people were hurt. The Chinese are heading to North Korea to work their own form of diplomacy. Why the U.N. Security Council is not voting on a binding resolution calling for sanctions against the North. CBS News Foreign Affairs consultant Pamela Falk.
China has not vetoed a resolution in the past 6 years, and that is what the administration was banking on when they said they had the votes.
The word is the Chinese are already peddling a softer version of that tougher resolution. At the closing bell, the Dow was up over six. This is CBS News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Just can't beat it. Rome and a party. CBS News reporter Sabina Castelfranco says when it's the winners of the World Cup, it's really the tops.
Hundreds of thousands of Italians greeted the national soccer team who arrived victorious from Germany. After landing at a military airport, the team met with the Italian Prime Minister and then was driven on an open-air bus along the streets of Rome. The crowds were enthusiastic. It was like a triumphant march through the Italian capital. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
The Federal Reserve says Americans used their credit cards more but took out fewer car loans last month. Overall, the monthly tally of borrowing was up by less than 2.5% in May, significantly slower than in April. Keith Richards has confirmed that he'll be in the third installment of the Pirates of the Caribbean. He tells reporters in Italy that he'll be filming for a week or so in September. I'm Lou Miliano, CBS News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
People save more and more money on Priceline. Save when you find your own hotel. Save even more when we find it for you. Save packaging your hotel with airfare, booking early, or even on last-minute deals. Priceline now has more ways to save on hotels than any leading travel site. Priceline, more ways to save.
I am the God of Hellfire, and I bring you...
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're on fire today. And I just couldn't resist a little high-charge rock and roll to get us going. Coming up today on the Peter B. Collins Show, investigative reporter Robert Dreyfuss joins us. He writes for Mother Jones Magazine. He's got a piece in the current Mother Jones about Iran. We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about a piece that he posted at truthout.org and other websites recently about the failed reconciliation plan in Iraq. Also, a major coup for our producer, Matt Renner. Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan will be joining us today. He is an expert on the Arab part of the world, and I've talked to him many times over the years, but it's been a while. So Juan Cole will join us. We'll talk with him about Iraq and also the conflict that continues between Israel and Palestine. And on today's program, Dr. Bill Durston joins us. He is a progressive Democrat, a medical doctor, and a veteran of the Vietnam War who is challenging one of the most conservative members of Congress here in California. That is Dan Lundgren, who served in Congress before, then was the state attorney general and a failed candidate for governor. That's going to be a tough race, but Bill Durston is up to it. We'll talk to him a little bit later on today. And the saga continues about District 50 in Southern California. Brad Friedman will give us an update as we kick off the free speech zone in our third hour today. They're still looking for a few dollars more to fund the hand count in that disputed election between Brian Bill Bray and Francine Busby. And Brad will check in with us. I want to thank all of the Peter B. Collins Show listeners who generously made contributions over the weekend. You people are terrific. It's time to take a look at the work of our media. Every Monday, we kick off the show with a representative of MediaMatters.org. And our media man today is Jameson Fozer. J-Mo Fozer joins us from Washington, D.C. And if you have not yet visited Media Matters, it's a very important website. They do great work there. They monitor the mainstream media and then offer us analysis and occasional truth-telling or record-setting straightening. That didn't work, did it? J-Mo, help me out. Well, what's the right way to put that? Setting the record straight, I guess.
Setting the record straight, I think, works.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. How are you, Peter?
Not too bad. I had a great weekend. A lot of things going on here in California, and you're very busy there in Washington. Even though the House and Senate are on recess, there's no shortage of stuff going on.
Never is. Yeah. Never is.
I want to start off with this powerful essay that you posted at Media Matters about the way the Republicans keep getting positive spin from the media, even when the worst news drops. And you point out a couple of recent examples about how the Bush administration has encountered setbacks, bad news, things that didn't pan out the way they expected. And, you know, whether we're talking about the North Korea July 4th fireworks, the situation with Iran, the continuing problems in Iraq, the Supreme Court ruling, which was a major setback for the Bush administration, they seem to be able to spin their way out of virtually any bad news.
And in some cases, they don't even seem to have to spin their way out. The media does it for them. If you think back to the just extraordinary list of things that have been declared by the media to be good news for Republicans or bad news for Democrats in the last few months, NBC's Matt Lauer told us that President Bush's historic unpopularity was a good thing for Republican candidates because it meant they could run against an unpopular president, a president of their own party with whom they agree on everything. It's a good thing for them that this guy's unpopular. Last week, the Supreme Court, as you mentioned, issued a stunning rebuke of the Bush administration's basic governing philosophy. The media declared this to be good news for Republicans because it lets the Republicans campaign against the Supreme Court. A couple weeks ago, the Republicans were all in lockstep denouncing the media left and right. And, of course, those same media members were talking about how that was a brilliant tactic for the Republicans because it allowed them to run against the media. So at this point, they're running against the Democrats, the media, their own president, and the Supreme Court. And this is supposed to be a good thing for them.
Well, and we have to be careful because media covers a multitude of organizations and a multitude of sins. But it is fascinating to see the way the New York Times was singled out for this transgression, which really has no merit. The idea that they gave away something big and juicy in reporting on the widely known investigation and eavesdropping on financial records as money goes in and out of our country. It's amazing how much traction the administration has gotten out of that and how few other people in the media don't quite see the threat that it poses to them, that they could be on the receiving end of this kind of demagoguery that the New York Times is enduring right now.
And, you know, the Times got it worse than most, but some other news organizations did get some fire. It seems as though that week or 10-day stretch when first the White House and then every Republican seemingly and conservative was attacking the New York Times, the strategy must have been a bit larger than that, because during that same week you had Tom DeLay attacking the media for how they've covered him. You had Bill Frist criticizing CNN during an interview on CNN for their purported failure to cover what Senate Republicans are doing. You had James Dobson wrote a piece for CNN's webpage in which he attacked the media. It was this relentless across-the-board assault that really showed, what they've been so good at over the years and how they've been able to pressure the media. It's because their media criticism isn't limited to the Media Research Center and the people who are explicitly media critics. It's something that they all engage in, and it clearly has an effect. It has the major media second-guessing everything they might say about these guys.
And, JMO, it takes me back a little bit to the fall of 2004. It was a week or 10 days before the presidential election that Osama bin Laden dropped a tape. And I thought, wow, this is going to remind people that Osama is still at large and that the Bush administration has failed in task number one in terms of protecting us and responding to the attacks of 9/11. But because Osama implicitly endorsed John Kerry in that videotape, Karl Rove was able to use that as a way of saying, look, the number one evildoer in the world supports John Kerry, instead of saying, look, the number one evildoer in the world is still at large, and gosh, I think it's our responsibility.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's something I tried to get at in that piece that you referred to. Political reporters in particular seem to have an assumption that any time any issue of security or terrorism or war comes up, it's automatically to the Republicans' benefit. And so when Osama bin Laden pops up every few months with a new videotape or audio tape, it's played as good news for the Republicans because it's a reminder that it's a dangerous world out there, rather than bad news for the Republicans because it's a reminder that, as Ron Suskind's new book describes in painful detail, President Bush let Osama bin Laden get away at Tora Bora. When something in Iraq goes wrong or North Korea launches a missile test, it's good news for the Republicans because it raises the issue of issues of security rather than being played as, you know, bad news for Republicans because it's a reminder that this administration hasn't kept us safe, that we're less able to deal with North Korea because we have our military tangled up in a war in Iraq that was fought for false reasons.
And JMO, coming back to the Supreme Court decision, do you think Democrats failed to sufficiently capitalize on that moment and make clear to the American people that the president was found to be operating illegally in violation of the law by his own hand-picked Supreme Court?
I think you can make that case. I think, you know, a friend of mine recently reminded me of an old George Mitchell quote when he was the Senate Democratic leader. He said, nobody believes the arguments of the Senate Republicans except the Senate Democrats. And he said that you could add the media to that. And that's what you have going on now. The Bush administration spins everything and their allies spin everything as good news for them. And the only people who buy it, because it doesn't make any sense, are the media and, unfortunately, a lot of Democrats. And so this constant media repetition of the idea that any security issue is a winner for Republicans, I think a lot of Democrats have taken that to heart. And it creates sort of a self-fulfilling cycle there.
And JMO, from that, let's move to this little dollop from Fox News Channel. And this is a report about Joe Lieberman and Ned Lamont, the competition there in the primary in Connecticut, where Lamont is clearly challenging Lieberman because of his support of the Bush administration on the war. And it's interesting the way Fox spinning isn't quite the word. This is contortion. First of all, you know, declares that the Democrats are the anti-war party and then seems to just gloss over the politics of Joe Lieberman. Let's see if we can play this clip, and then we'll talk about it.
Lieberman voted to invade Iraq, to oust Saddam Hussein. He is unapologetic for that vote and says it was a good thing that Saddam Hussein got removed. But the anti-war liberal movement across the country, specifically in Connecticut, essentially recruited this businessman, Ned Lamont, a millionaire, to run, recognizing that Lieberman might be vulnerable because of the unpopularity of the Iraq war in Democratic politics. Bill Clinton had a great line years ago. He said, the American public would rather be strong and wrong than weak and right. Well, obviously the Republicans believe they're wrong on that they're right on the war and that they're strong. Democrats now put themselves in a very vulnerable position because, by definition, they are beating up on Joe Lieberman for taking a tough and strong national security position. That makes them look weak. And in a wartime election, the Democratic Party has to ask themselves if they really want to make an example of a guy who's been a Democratic senator for three terms, been endorsed by virtually every major Democratic interest group there is, whether it's labor or abortion rights. The list is almost complete, and yet you see him in this very tough primary. Lieberman leads, but Lamont's gaining, and it's essentially because of this Iraq position. The Democratic Party, if it's to be the anti-war party and leave nothing open to discussion, puts itself in a very tenuous position and opens itself to the Republican criticism that they're a bunch of cut and runners.
All right. Very interesting. That's Carl Cameron, the news anchor. JMO, we got to take our break, and we'll talk about this and let you analyze it when we return in just a moment. Jameson Fosler is our guest from Media Matters for America. Visit their website, mediamatters.org. And if you have a question or comment, get on the line now, 831-899-5792, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Dan Brown, President of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth.
Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet John Brown, president of Brown Developments. John is an investor, author, and produces a weekly TV show. If you're an investor, listen this week. John will have some hot tips for you on some great real estate opportunities. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Roller Real Estate, heard on this station and all over Northern California. You can also listen online at rockrollinrealestate.com. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on this Monday afternoon. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, Robert Dreyfuss will join us. He writes for Mother Jones, The Nation, The American Prospect. And we're going to talk about Iran and Iraq. We continue now with Jameson Jamo Foser from Media Matters for America. Again, their website, mediamatters.org. They do a lot of good work there. And when you spot something in the media that doesn't seem right to you, doesn't seem true, go to Media Matters, and if you haven't found the item there, drop them an email and turn it in. I'm sure they'll follow up on it. J-Mo, we didn't have time before the break, but I wanted to get your comments on Carl Cameron's quote-unquote coverage of the Lieberman-Lamont race and some of the editorial remarks he made in what was allegedly a news story.
Sure. Well, it's a perfect example of what we were just talking about. Carl Cameron says that the Democratic Party, if they're going to be anti-war, opens themselves up to criticism from Republicans. Now, remember, this is a very unpopular war being run by a very unpopular president, and the very unpopular Republican Party wants to continue it indefinitely. And Carl Cameron's take on this is that Democrats will be in trouble if they oppose that. It's the same assumption that we were talking about before, that every time an issue of security or war or terrorism comes up, national political reporters assume that's to the benefit of the Republicans. It's like they don't realize this isn't 2002 anymore. In 2002, that kind of assumption by reporters, you could kind of justify. If you looked at the polling, Bush and Republicans enjoyed a massive lead on in terms of which party the American people trusted to keep them safe and to execute the war on terrorism and all that. That's not the case anymore. Bush used to have a 50-point lead on questions like that. now it's a toss-up.
Mm-hmm.
National political reporters somehow don't seem to have recognized that. And this isn't a new development. It's been about two solid years that that things have changed and that people no longer trust this guy and no longer think he's doing a good job and no longer support their positions on these issues. Everybody in the country seems to get that except reporters.
To what extent do you think this is a result of not just the recent intimidation on the New York Times, but the pushback on other media agencies and outlets? Do you think that they are intimidated and that they are either wary of being rebuked by their corporate bosses or actually have been?
I don't know about rebuking by corporate bosses. I know a lot of people think so, that's the case, and I just don't know if you can really say that. I don't think there's any question, though, that a lot of reporters have been influenced by not just the last few weeks or even the last few years, but a few decades of Republican and conservative attacks on the media and the whole line of attack that the media is liberal and there's a bias. That's been internalized by a lot of reporters and a lot of institutions, and I think they've been over backwards to prove that it's not the case. I think the national political reporters are also just way too impressed with Karl Rove and have been since day one and think that anything he does is automatically going to be a winner. And I think that colors a lot of the coverage.
Next, JMO, I want to talk about the North Korea situation. Last week on our 4th of July holiday, we launched a space shuttle. They launched a Taipodong 2, a Scud Light, and a few other things. And the Bush administration having, you know, in my view, overhyped the risk and the threat presented by that act by North Korea, then went on to blithely claim, since nothing really happened, the Taipodong 2 fizzled out, that if we had to, we could have shot it down with our $92 billion Star Wars missile defense system. Let's listen to this report.
Dan Harrison, Seoul, thanks. The president also expected to speak about the North Korean situation. At a news conference later this morning, Mr. Bush told Larry King last night that while he supports a UN plan to impose sanctions, the United States is prepared to defend itself.
Don Rumsfeld called me and said, look, he's fired, you know, rockets. Some of them scuds. But we responded very quickly. We had a plan in place to respond if he were to fire these things.
Were you prepared to shoot it down?
If it headed to the United States, we've got a missile defense system that will defend our country.
Top U.S. diplomat.
They forgot the laugh track, JMO.
Yeah, that goes from Good Morning America, and that claim got repeated by a lot of news organizations uncritically, and a lot of pundits made the same claim on their own. What very few bothered to point out was that it's not true. We don't have a fully functional missile defense system. It's never been fully tested. It has no proven ability to shoot down a hostile missile. That's the Government Accountability's Office, their assessment, not mine.
Right.
The only successful tests that have been performed have only tested components of the system, not the whole thing, and the tests have been conducted by attaching a tracking beacon to test missiles to give the interceptors something to aim for. Now, if the North Koreans ever do launch an attack on the U.S., I think they're probably pretty unlikely to do us the courtesy of including a tracking device on their missiles.
Right. Well, and I welcomed any effort by the U.S. to test our SDI system on this missile because, like the tests, we knew where it was coming from, and we had at least a hunch on the timing window of when it would be launched. So that was a leg up, the kind of, you know, advantages that they have attempted to give the system when they've tested it in the past. JMO, one other item I just wanted to bring to your attention. The Friday before our lengthy July 4th holiday, the Government Affairs Committee, headed by Congressman Davis, a Republican from Virginia, reported out a couple of subpoenas to Don Rumsfeld to produce documents related to the Abu Ghraib investigation and a whistleblower who had come forward in the past. I've seen virtually no coverage on that. Have you?
You know, I haven't either.
Yeah.
That's exactly the kind of story that tends to get ignored by the media these days, or it'll be a one-time story without much follow-up. I think the Abu Ghraib investigation overall deserves more consistent attention than it's gotten.
Yeah. Jameson, thanks for joining us today. Jameson Fosser from Media Matters for America on the web, mediamatters.org. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Peter.
Coming up next, Robert Dreyfus joins us. We're going to talk about Iran and Iraq here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit my website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We originate live every weekday afternoon from the left coast of the United States. I want to shout out our listeners in Eureka, Monterey, Sacramento, and Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for joining us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I saw a face in the shower door. A cowboy smile came and faded. I reached for my towel.
Over the course of the next hour, we bring you two credible voices, people who are better informed than I am, on the situation in the Middle East. Coming up next hour, Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. He is an expert on the history of the Middle East. He'll be joining us. And if you want to do a little advanced prep, you can go to juancole.com. That's his website and blog. And he is a powerful voice on these issues. Looking forward to talking with Professor Cole in about a half an hour. Robert Dreyfus, likewise, has been studying these issues for some time. He writes for Mother Jones, for The Nation, for The American Prospect, and other publications. And he also is the author of the powerful book Devil's Game, How the United States Helped Unleash Fundamentalist Islam. I knew I could get that out. Bob Dreyfus, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, nice to talk with you, and we had a chance to meet face-to-face a few weeks back in Washington, D.C.
Yes, we did. We did.
Thanks for dropping by to the mayhem there at the Hinckley Hilton, which is where
maybe
we were.
Maybe we'll call it the Hillary Hilton from now on. I hear her. She didn't get too exciting of a reception there from,
well, it's
from
true.
Some of the assembled patrons.
Well, when she offered her tortured position on the war in Iraq, she first said that she didn't believe in staying the course, and she then said that she didn't believe in setting a date, and the audience just kind of booed her for that.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very interesting the way it contrasted with Senator Kerry's remarks just an hour later from the same podium, where he finally, for the first time in my presence, issued a very clear position that I can support on the war in Iraq.
Yeah, I heard that, and I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to split this up into two segments here, Bob Dreyfus. First up, I'd like to talk about your piece in the July-August Mother Jones about Iran. And then I want to talk about the item that you wrote for TomPaine.com, and it got picked up by Truthout, which is where I found it, about the so-called peace process in Iraq and the alleged attempts at reconciliation.
Sure.
First, to Iran, it's kind of slowed down a little bit. The heat appears to be turned down just a touch because, well, we've been struggling with Supreme Court decisions and missile launches from North Korea and a few other things that have diverted the attention of the administration. But it is very clear that we're on a track here that's quite similar to the one we were on in 2002-2003 related to Iraq.
Yeah, and, you know, like the big bad days of the Soviet Empire, it's kind of like Kremlinology when people used to look at little indications to figure out what the Soviet leaders were thinking or doing. That's the way it is with the Bush administration, because you have to kind of always read between the lines, and it's really hard to know what this seeming initiative toward Iran means. Is it a genuine effort to find some sort of deal that the United States can work out with Iran, or is it just an attempt to show the rest of the world that, yeah, we're checking the box of diplomacy, because we can't go to war without, you know, saying we gave it the old college try. And that's one of the parallels you find between the war in Iraq and this crisis over Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you remember at the fall of 2002, about 6 months before the war in Iraq started, the Bush administration agreed to follow Colin Powell to the UN, and they got the inspectors back in there. And then after a certain decent interval, I guess, they threw up their hands and they said, well, this UN thing isn't working, and the inspectors, we don't believe them, and they're not finding anything, so we're going in there on our own. And I think a lot of the rest of the world should be forgiven if they think that maybe that's what's happening with Iran, too, that sometime, you know, whether it's before or after the elections this year, that the president will simply say, okay, I'm tired of this UN thing and we're not getting any place, so the bombing will begin in 5 minutes.
Yeah. And the editors of Mother Jones entitled your article, Next We Take Tehran, and I interpret that as a reference to the Leonard Cohen song about First We Take Manhattan. Is that the right reference?
You know, I don't know. That could be it. I didn't think of that myself, but I think, you know, those of us who've been following this for a while remember that when the United States went into Iraq, or was talking about it 4 years ago, the best guess was that Iraq was meant to be just the beginning, that Iraq was meant to be a first step, and that Iran was the next target. So, in other words, in some ways, an American attempt at forced regime change in Iran was always supposed to follow the one in Iraq, and that's the way the war was designed.
That, of course, is the blueprint from PNAC, too, the Project for a New American Century. It wasn't explicit about Iran would be next, but the general game plan was, we want to remap and restructure the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly. And so you heard a lot of talk about that back then from the neoconservatives inside and outside the Bush administration. Now, it's true they've been taken down perhaps a peg or a half a peg, between the first Bush administration 4 years ago and the second one. But nevertheless, you still have Dick Cheney in power. I think they're still committed to that original roadmap of domino-like regime changes. And the point I make in my Mother Jones story is that you can't believe this is simply because we don't like the leaders of this or that country. You have to look beyond that and see that it's probably got something to do with the fact that two-thirds of the world's oil is in the Persian Gulf, and that these countries, at least for the next, two or three decades, are the very fulcrum of international energy security. So every part of the world, whether it's Japan and China or Europe or, you name it, depends on the flow of oil from that particular region.
Well, and as you point out in this article, it's been U.S. policy going back to FDR that essentially that oil is part of our national interest. But what you also describe in this article is the shift in policy, the paradigm shift. You write, if the administration's goals are congruent with past U.S. policy, its methods represent a radical departure. Previous administrations relied on alliances, proxy relationships with local rulers, a military presence that stayed mostly behind the scenes, and over-the-horizon forces ready to intervene in a crisis. President Bush has directly occupied two countries in the region and threatened a third. And by claiming a sweeping regional war without end against what he referred to as Islamo-fascism, combined with an announced goal to impose U.S.-style free market democracy in Southwest Asia, he has adopted a utopian approach much closer to imperialism than to traditional balance of power politics. Bob Dreyfus, that is a real piece of analysis that I think is critical to understanding this shift that Bush has engaged in.
Yeah, and when I say utopian, I'm being somewhat ironic, but it's counterposed usually to the notion of the realists. The realists are the sort of the traditional American establishment who are more willing to take countries as they come and try to work out arrangements with them and so forth. Bush rewrote all of the rules, or I should say he just ripped up all of the rules.
Right.
And by invading unilaterally, first of all, without really any international support or UN sanction, and second, invading preventively, that is, without demonstrating that there was any clear threat to the United States, I think he's attempting to create an entirely new U.S. policy from scratch. And that's what has alienated not just people at home among the establishment and the military and so on, but most of the rest of the world, which is aghast at these efforts. And it's seen around the world, you can argue whether it's true or not, but it's certainly seen around the world as an American power grab for the oil. It's seen as a way for the United States to insert itself militarily and politically at the heart of the world's oil supply. And that's certainly how China and Russia see it. That's certainly how people in the region see it. And nothing that the president is doing is particularly aimed at convincing them otherwise.
Here's a compound question. Given what we've just described, and given the history of this administration willing to thumb its nose at the world community and allies and the United Nations and going it alone, are we presently in a lull with the kind of facade of pursuing a diplomatic resolution and no real shift in the military options being considered by the administration? Or is there a real response to the initiative from Ahmadinejad? And despite the delayed response that isn't on W's timeline, the Iranians do appear to be at least responding to the overtures, and that compounds the problem for Bush. He'd love to have them just shun him, but by attempting to engage, even if not on Bush's terms, it is causing him to be forced to engage further. Is that fair?
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that. I think the problem is Iraq. That if Iraq had gone well, if we'd been able to subdue Iraq within a year of the invasion, then I think the administration would have a lot freer hand to be much more aggressive in other parts of the world. But because Iraq has been such a quagmire, because we've got so many troops tied down there and we've spent so much money and we've gotten so many people mad at us all over the world, I think they're taking stock a little bit. I mean, if you remember, before the war in Iraq, Saddam tried to offer various peace deals through Russia, through France. They started cooperating with the UN. They opened their books. They issued an 18,000-page report saying, we don't have any weapons of mass destruction, and here's every single document we have on the subject. And all of that was just flatly rejected by Bush. He said, well, I don't believe this guy. He's an evil dictator. So I think whatever Ahmadinejad is doing or whatever olive branches he's offering, if the U.S. were in a position diplomatically and militarily to move against Iran, I don't think any of these initiatives would matter. I think Bush would just say, he's a madman, and he wants to wipe Israel off the map, and now he wants nukes, so we're going in. Mm-hmm. But I think he's somewhat constrained, both by the fact that we're tied down in Iraq and by the fact that we've alienated our allies so thoroughly, that he needs to try to build up some credibility. So that's why they're saying, okay, we're gonna pull back from the brink, and we, you know, it seemed a couple months ago we were at that brink,
right,
with Iran, and we're gonna pull back from that, and we're gonna go to the UN, and you know, maybe we'll take a breather for the next 8 months or a year until we can rethink the situation. But and then of course within the administration too, you have some cooler heads. Condoleezza Rice, people tell me, is one of them. Who is arguing, like Colin Powell did before her, that we can't just, you know, go invading willy-nilly any country we want to. So is she the beneficiary of this, you know, constellation of forces inside and outside the United States that's causing Bush to step back? Or is Cheney and his allies just allowing Rice to, you know, play around for a while before they decide that it's time to move? That's what I meant earlier by Kremlinology. It's difficult to read what's happening inside this government here.
Indeed. We're going to take a break and return with Robert Dreyfus. If you have a question or comment, join us right now, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. We'll shift over to Iraq and talk about the alleged effort at reconciliation there. That's coming up next, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale at a new time. Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540. for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in reality radio with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, reality radio right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with investigative reporter Robert Dreyfus. You can read his current article in the July-August issue of Mother Jones magazine. And there's another piece called Sabotaging Peace in Iraq, which he posted at TomPaine.com last week, and it's been picked up by TruthOut.org, which is where I found it today. And Bob Dreyfus, talk a little bit about the PR campaign called Reconciliation and the extent to which Nouri al-Maliki is truly a puppet of the American ambassador Khalilzad and the Bush administration more generally.
Well, gosh, you know, Maliki is one of the exiles, the former Iraqi leaders who left the country during the 80s or 90s and who were assembled into this collection called the Iraqi National Congress and its affiliates, including the two Shiite religious parties. And we brought them back to Iraq and we put them into the palaces and we shepherded the creation of their government. So, I mean, it's really, I think, impossible to call them anything other than puppets. I think the sad thing about this latest initiative is, you know, I've been writing for a long time that one way to reduce the violence and perhaps lead to an exit there would be to start negotiating, talking to the Sunni resistance groups, to the insurgency, about a deal, trading a ceasefire for some sort of timetable for the reduction of U.S. troops. And actually, starting about 2 weeks ago, several, up to, I don't know, seven, eight of these groups said, we're willing to talk and we want to make out, work out that kind of a deal, a 2-year timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. forces, and you know, we're ready to call a ceasefire and join the government. Well, that was something that seemed promising. It was on the horizon. And then when Prime Minister Maliki had started talking about a national reconciliation plan, when he finally revealed it the Sunday before last, there was nothing in there about amnesty. There was nothing in there about, you know, any kind of enticement to the Ba'ath Party and to the more nationalist elements of the Iraqi resistance. And I'm not talking about the followers of the recent late Zarqawi movement, but the nationalists and the Ba'athists, there was nothing in there to entice them into a deal. It was just more of the same, you know, lay down your arms, surrender, and join the government. And that was the direct result of pressure from the ambassador and the American military there.
There was also a chorus from the U.S. Senate and House rejecting any terms of amnesty that would extend it to people who had attacked or killed Americans. And that, to me, is a red herring. And if we really do want peace in Iraq, we're going to have to deal with that at one point or another.
Oh, of course. I mean, you don't, you know, either you end the war by killing every single person who is even thinking about fighting us, or you allow a ceasefire in which the fighters lay down their arms in exchange for peace. And that's what an amnesty is. That's how wars end, is that the fighters on the other side agree to stop fighting unless you kill them all. And so far, the Bush administration's strategy is to kill them all. And that's obviously hasn't worked for 3.5 years, and there's no particular reason why you know, you'd think it's going to work now. And instead of offering an amnesty, instead of offering some sort of reconciliation plan, which was described, the Iraqi government instead issued a wanted list for, I think, 41 people that it said, you know, basically wanted dead or alive. One of them was the daughter of Saddam Hussein, who lives in Jordan, mm-hmm. in Amman, Jordan. And Jordan is, of course, one of our very closest allies in the Middle East, immediately said, no way are we handing her over. She's here as a guest of the Jordanian royal family. We've given her refugee status, and we're not handing her over to you guys so you can put her on trial or execute her or do something else without even telling us, without any charges made, without any information about what she's supposedly guilty of.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Let me just jump in, Bob, because we just have 2 minutes remaining.
Sure, sure.
Two key items here. One is, I'd like you to briefly describe the Abbas Brigades, because your article here is the first I've heard of them. And then talk about the failure of Democrats to respond to these offers coming from the resistance in Iraq. You say, not Russ Feingold, not John Kerry, not Jack Murtha. Nobody had the guts to say to Bush, we ought to accept this deal.
Yeah, well, on the first point, on the Abbas Brigades, there was a announcement a couple of weeks ago and I think it's the first time that a Shiite resistance group, a Shiite insurgent group, has declared its existence. Now, I'm not talking about just the troublesome, quarrelsome people who make up the Shiite coalition in Iraq, but a full-fledged Shiite resistance group which says that it wants cooperation between Shiites and Sunnis to fight the United States. That's a remarkable new development, and it accused various people in Iraq, including the United States, of trying to foment Sunni-Shiite divisions. So that's mm-hmm. significant.
Okay.
As far as the Democrats go, I think this applies to the entire anti-war movement and to the left. We don't have to embrace or support the cause of the Iraqi Ba'athists, just the way we don't have to embrace or support the cause of the Shiite fundamentalist religious parties or Kurdish separatists who make up the government over there. But I think it's way past time that we start talking to them and being expressing a willingness.
Understood. Robert Dreyfuss, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A dire warning from public health officials.
Tobacco could kill a billion people this century.
Eating fish could prevent blindness. I'm Dan Ravitch.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's a staggering number. Experts warn that before this century is over, a billion people around the world could die from smoking, 10 times the number killed in the 20th century. There's an explosion of tobacco use overseas, and as CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi reports, the decline in this country might be over.
We have a train wreck that's not waiting to happen.
John Safran heads the American Cancer Society. It's the first time in a decade the number of teen smokers grew, from about 21% in 2003 to 23% in 2005. Safran says that tiny 1% increase is a big red flag.
I see a stopping of the decline. When you quit spending money on interventions that work, unfortunately you can go backwards in this world.
And he says lawmakers are blowing it, cutting funding on prevention efforts and refusing to regularly raise taxes on cigarettes, a proven way to discourage teen smokers.
At the same time, cigarette companies have tripled their spending on advertising. If you eat carrots for your eyes, maybe you should make the main course fish. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the latest research.
Over age 75, the eyes of almost one out of three people fail from macular degeneration. 7% lose their vision entirely. But Dr. Johanna Seddon of the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Infirmary reports finding the best way to cut your risk.
And that is eating a healthy diet, particularly one that contains omega-3 fatty acids, as in fish.
Especially salmon with its so-called good fat, 35% less chance of blindness. But smoking cigarettes doubles your risk of macular degeneration. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Now this.
The Michelin Man wants you to join him in the pursuit of driving pleasure. And he's willing to offer a financial incentive. Right now you can get a $50 mail-in rebate when you purchase a set of 4 new Michelin MX Series Touring tires. Visit your Michelin dealer from July 1st to July 31st to maximize the enjoyment of your car and get a $50 mail-in rebate. To find a Michelin dealer near you, visit MichelinMan.com. Michelin, a better way forward.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn and...
dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
Secretary of State Rice says the Chinese mission to North Korea has some promise and the Bush administration would like to let that play out. So for now, CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports there's no push for U.N. sanctions.
There's every indication the Security Council is trying to be united in its response to the North Korean missile launches, agreeing to delay a vote on a Japanese resolution to allow China more time for negotiations with Pyongyang, and possibly modifying the resolution now before the Council so that China and Russia won't veto it or abstain. China and Russia oppose sanctions.
Members of Congress are not above the law, says a federal judge in Washington. He's ruled that the recent raid on Capitol Hill targeting Louisiana Democrat William Jefferson was legal. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has background.
House Republican leaders were so angry about this unprecedented search of a congressman's office that President Bush intervened to minimize the political damage, putting everything obtained in the search under seal for 45 days for the Department of Justice and leaders of Congress to work out a compromise. That hasn't happened. The 45 days, though, is over, and now the judge in the case says the prosecutors can use what they found.
Congressman Jefferson is the target of a bribery investigation. Shamil Bashayev, the Chechen warlord blamed for the terrorist attack on a school in Beslan, Russia, has been killed. A truck packed with explosives blew up next to his car, apparently the work of Russia's Federal Security Service. He deserved it, says President Bush, and CBS News reporter Beth Noble in Moscow says many would agree.
The Beslan school siege, because it targeted children, was so cruel and so brutal that people said, you know, I'm sympathetic towards the Chechen plight, but targeting children is outrageous, and it just can't happen.
331 people died in that siege by Chechen rebels 2 years ago. Basayev is also linked to the seizure of a Moscow theater in 2002 in which dozens of people died. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
To add some prestige to the pursuit of driving pleasure, the Michelin Man is attempting to establish a master's degree program in driver's ed. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn why the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series touring tires is the ultimate study aid for those seeking to graduate to a higher level of driving. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
We're launching another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, Carmel by the Sea, and that little town called
Freedom.
We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And people listen to our program in the nighttime on 1240 Talk City, KSAC, Sacramento, and KPHX 1480, Progressive Talk in Phoenix, Arizona. If you're not able to call the program live, you can always drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. But we prefer your live phone calls, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. Or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll meet one of the challengers, a progressive Democrat, a medical doctor, and a Vietnam veteran, Dr. Bill Durston. He's taking on Dan Lundgren. Can you say Neanderthal Republican? But right now, I'm very pleased to welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show, Professor Juan Cole. He teaches at the University of Michigan, where he is a professor of modern Middle Eastern and South Asian history. He blogs and webs on the Internet at juancole.com. Professor, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate the voice that you lend to the discussion of these issues, and these are very difficult times. We just spent the last half hour talking with Robert Dreyfus, who writes for Mother Jones and other publications. We're talking about the situation in Iraq. And as you point out on your website today, we do have a full-blown civil war underway. Just a few months ago, our media was arguing over whether the term really applied or not. And there can be little dispute today after the kind of sectarian and religious ethnic-based violence that we're seeing there that Iraq is in the forces of a full civil war.
Yeah, I mean, the question before had been that there obviously was a low-intensity guerrilla struggle going on with car bombings and a loss of life. You had 40, 50 people being killed a day in those bombings. But the question was, you know, in the absence of a militia activity of a large scale, was that really a civil war? Well, on Sunday, we had militia activity. The militia took over a neighborhood, set up checkpoints, checked people's identities, and just started shooting them on the basis of their ethnic and sectarian identity.
And this is truly brazen. This kind of activity in broad daylight has been scattered, but never with this kind of audacity, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is incredible. And we're supposed to have 130,000 U.S. troops in Iraq. There were actually people on local Baghdad TV calling for help and talking about what was going on. It was very slow in coming. And apparently this went on in the early morning hours for some time before there was any intervention.
And, Professor, it's only been a couple of weeks since the U.S. successfully killed Zarqawi. And the intimation was that once again we were turning a corner, and I was waiting for Thomas Friedman to intone that, you know, the next 6 months will be crucial or critical. But Zarqawi really was not a central part of the insurgency there, as the Bush administration wants us to believe. And the way they conflated the term insurgent with terrorist, they wanted us to believe that anybody who attacked Americans was part of Al-Qaeda and the Zarqawi network. But since his removal from the scene, we really have been able to see more clearly that Al-Qaeda and the Zarqawi forces were not our biggest problem.
Yeah, Zarqawi was a violent man, and his group certainly did commit car bombings and violence, but they're a relatively small part of the overall picture. The former interior minister in Iraq estimated the foreign fighters at no more than 1,000 or so in the country. We think there are 25, 30, 40,000 insurgents, so obviously the foreigners were a small part of the whole.
Mm-hmm. And, Professor, give us your take on the degree of independence that Mr. al-Maliki has in challenging the United States and ultimately inviting us to leave Iraq.
Well, Nouri al-Maliki, the new prime minister in Iraq, when he came into office, said that he believed it would be possible to draw down most or all U.S. troops by December of 2007, in 18 months, in other words. The Bush administration distanced itself from that kind of estimate, and Maliki hasn't said anything more about it. It's clear what he wants. He doesn't have many cards to play. I mean, the fact is that those elected politicians in Iraq in the Green Zone, were they to take a stroll in the neighborhoods from which they have been elected, would just be shot down dead. And the only thing standing between them and an early grave is the U.S. Marines. So they're not in a position to press the Bush administration too hard.
And, Professor Cole, as you look at the situation and you see the debate that occurred in the United States Senate just 2 weeks ago, the repeated use of the phrase cut and run to describe any position other than the failed policy of the Bush administration, how do you see our way out?
Well, first of all, it seems clear to me that 136,000 ground troops on the ground, or maybe it's 130 now, are not preventing large-scale violence, and in some instances they are overreacting. They're being drawn into vendettas, sometimes crimes. And that less would be more, in my view. We should get some of those ground troops out. That's not cutting and running. That's just being realistic. We still have air superiority there. There is an incipient Iraqi military. We could keep things from falling altogether apart, I think, with the combination of the two special forces, the Iraqi forces and our air forces. But if you can have a daylight massacre in downtown Baghdad at a time when you've got all these U.S. troops there, then they're just not being useful there, and it's better to get them out.
But how do we persuade the party that rules in Washington to reconsider its policy? Because what we saw in the Senate debate was the Republicans doubling down. They're betting that by continuing to back the failed policies of this administration, that they can hunker through the midterm elections this November. And so far, the Democrats really haven't made serious threats, in my view.
No, well, the Democrats, the Congress isn't in charge of Iraq policy. It never has been. It's in charge of money. And the only thing realistically that Congress could do would be to cut off money to the Bush administration, which is in charge of the policy. The Democrats can't do that. They don't have the votes. So the Republicans are going to call the shots on this. I don't personally think that the Republican congressmen and senators are very happy about how things are going in Iraq, but it's their party. That's their party's project, and so they kind of have to stand behind it. The tragedy is that our guys are getting killed over there, sometimes for not a good reason. It's not as if, you know, people in Ramadi are ever going to not be relatively committed Arab nationalists and Sunni Muslims. So if the idea is somehow that we can overbear them into giving up their position, that's just never going to happen. And the moment we leave, that's what's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly agree with you that budget control is crucial, and that really was what started to signal the Nixon administration that they had to plan to get out of Vietnam because Congress stopped appropriating all the money they asked for. What advice do you have for the Democrats? The Levin Amendment drew a total of 39 votes, including Jeffords and Chafee of Rhode Island. I consider that some progress because Senator Clinton voted for it.
Yeah, well, the Democrats, it seems to me, need a different kind of approach. They need to take off the gloves and go after Bush. You know, what I would do if I were running for a Democratic office is I'd go out and find a school in my district that need to be painted. And I'd take a picture next to it with the paint peeling off of it. And say Bush says he's painted all these schools in Iraq, but our schools are falling apart. You know, New Orleans is still a mess. We've got all kinds of problems in this country. We've got renewed crime. Clinton put an extra several thousand police on the streets. What has Bush done about that kind of thing? So he's spending $120 billion over there this year. Probably that's what it's going to come to. And he's neglecting our own country, and that's the message that the American people would listen to. You get all caught up in details of how exactly you would get back out of Iraq. You're playing the Republicans' game. They're the ones who got us in there. They should tell us how they're going to get out.
Very well put. We're going to take a break and continue in just a moment with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. If you have a question or comment, get on the line right now, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call me toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. on 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Coming up next, we'll talk about the continuing conflict, militarized now, between Israel and Palestine with Professor Cole. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
You
Region PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 20 after 4. We've got Carl Williford at the controls today and Pat McAllister at Metro Traffic. Hi, Pat.
Good afternoon. We're looking at some good news if you consider the Caltrans side of things. Cones just coming up both north and southbound 17. They've been out there puttering in the slow lane for that stretch that gets you from Summit to Skyline Boulevard. It's going to be the fast lane for that road work the rest of the week. Again, both north and southbound 17. Let's jump to Salinas, where it's a stall East Blanco Road, right at Pajaro Street, Watsonville. The tail remnants of a head-on crash on Highway 129 right at Murphy Crossing Road. Emergency crews are on scene doing their final road work there. Oh, and Soledad, northbound 101 before Miranda Road. It's a double bag that's out there in the lane. Pat McAllister with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Pat. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour.
It's a plan.
Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning right here on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 21 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. He's a professor of modern Middle East and South Asian history. And his courses are not available at Yale University. I'll leave it at that. Professor, I just want to lift a quote here from an article that was emailed to me today by Rabbi Michael Lerner. He said, "This week it is impossible as a Jew and as an American to not notice that a new human rights violation by Israel has taken place, which manages to surpass many of its previous violations in cruelty and in the outrage it has generated. Anyone who has ever faced the crippling heat of the desert-like conditions of southern Israel or the Gaza Strip knows the desperation for water that comes each summer. So when Israel bombed and destroyed the electricity system for 1.2 million Gazans and thereby made all electric pumps inoperable, they inflicted a collective punishment on the entire Gazan population." And this really is at the heart of what I view as an extremely heavy-handed reaction by Israel. And it leads many of us to suspect that this is not simply about retrieving Corporal Gilad.
Certainly. Well, the Israeli state has every right to reply to violence. If it's being bombed from Gaza, it can go in and try to stop the bombing. If its soldier has been kidnapped, it can do a search and destroy mission, try to find the soldier, take out the guerrillas that captured him. I don't think that anybody would object on principled grounds too much to Israel replying in a proportionate way to such provocations. But that's not what they did. They bombed Gaza's only electric plant. It's not just a matter of water, although carrying water up five, six stories for a family of seven or eight is no fun, assuming that it can be easily done at all. But it's a matter of food spoiling. Gastroenteritis, possibly ultimately cholera. It's a matter of hospitals being able to operate, emergency rooms, medicine spoiling. You're talking about a degradation of the quality of life for 1.4 million people. And there's no excuse for bombing that power plant. Moreover, that power plant was insured by the United States, so it was a direct strike at the pocketbooks of the American public. It was a war crime. Collective punishment is illegal, according to the Geneva Conventions. And there have been a number of war crimes committed by Israel in the past 2 weeks, which are inexcusable. They are punishing ordinary people who haven't done anything wrong by exposing them to hardship, possibly illness, and even death.
And the detention of about a third of the parliament, most of the Hamas members, the threat to kidnap or at least take into custody Prime Minister Haniyeh, these are extraordinary steps. And again, it's hard to believe that they are simply in reaction to the loss of this one soldier who appears to still be alive.
Well, there's been reporting in the Israeli press that there had been plans by the Israeli military to try to topple the Hamas elected government for some time. I think it was very bad policy for the United States and Israel to allow Hamas to run an election if they weren't going to deal with Hamas if it were elected. That's just stupidity. If the Hamas leaders were not eligible to be elected, if they were tainted by terrorism, then they should have been excluded from running. They won by a technicality. The Palestinian people are the most secular in the Middle East, bar none. The vast majority of them did not vote for an Islamist government because they want Islamism. They are under the gun. They are being deprived of livelihood. Many of them are unemployed. 17% of Palestinian children are malnourished. There's an ongoing attempt by Israel to steal more of their land, to colonize it, to displace them, to displace their water resources, their farming. So they were disgusted at the betrayal of the hopes that had been raised in the 90s with the Oslo Peace Agreement that they would get a country. They haven't gotten a country. In fact, they've lost much more territory since 1992, and their vote for Hamas was a protest vote. So the Americans and the Israelis made this bed, and now they don't want to lie in it, and they're just arresting, or the word is not arrest. I mean, they're kidnapping these elected officials. What kind of signal does that send to the rest of the Middle East? Bush said that he wants to go to Mubarak in Egypt and encourage Mubarak to allow freer elections for the Egyptian parliament. Mubarak is perfectly capable of arresting his political opponents, and he does.
Yes, he does.
We condemn him for that. Condi Rice went to Beirut and condemned him for that.
And Professor Cole, one of the things that occurs to me and should not be lost on Prime Minister Olmert is that this action is bringing together, it's unifying Hamas and Fatah, who have been at odds, particularly after this election. And given the incursion by Israel and these real ruthless hardline tactics, the Palestinians have little choice but to unify.
Yeah, well, it is. It's in fact making Hamas much more popular. It's forcing the PLO to accommodate to it, and it's wider than that. You know, it's making the Muslim Brotherhood more popular in Egypt and in Jordan. It's helping the Islamists in Turkey. 50,000 Islamists came out and demonstrated in Istanbul on Sunday on behalf of the Palestinians. This is a largely secular country that has been a firm ally of the United States, part of NATO. And here you had 50,000 people in Istanbul protesting what Israel was doing. And these are Turkish Islamists, the Turks who are turning away from secularism towards Islamism in part as a protest against these kinds of injustices. This is very bad for the U.S. foreign policy posture in the Middle East.
Well, Professor, I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to, again, reference your website, juancole.com, juancole.com. And any final comments you'd like to offer our listeners today?
Well, I think that you reap the whirlwind. The actions, the overreaction of the Israelis in Gaza, the ongoing violence in American-occupied Iraq are not going to leave us harmless. I think there's going to be more trouble out of all this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, sir, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you.
All right. That's Professor Juan Cole at the University of Michigan, Professor of Modern Middle East and South Asian History. Again, juancole.com for more information, and he writes powerful information every day, so you might want to bookmark that and check back on a regular basis. Coming up next, we're going to meet a candidate for Congress here in California, Dr. Bill Durston. who's challenging Dan Lundgren in Congressional District 3. That's coming up next, along with your calls at 888-579-2540 here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Carl, I'll
think
be right
for
back.
Yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show blaring out of your speakers. Go ahead, crank it up for a little U2. Coming up in about half an hour, Brad Friedman is going to join us to kick off the free speech zone today. And they still need a little more cash to pay for the hand count of votes in California District 50. This is the challenge to the outcome of the Bill Bray-Busby race that we've been talking about. And as Brad Friedman has ably documented, the security breaches in San Diego are severe. And it calls into question the outcome of that election. And a voter has come forward and filed documents for a hand count. And Brad is still trying to get a handle from the registrar of voters there, Michael Haas, on exactly how much it's going to cost. So we'll get an update in about a half an hour. And if you're in a position to contribute, I hope you will. Our music of the moment is called Out of Control. I'm one of those people who looks at Washington, D.C. and one-party rule and says, I've had enough. This is out of control. And Dr. Bill Durston apparently feels the same way because he has entered a very difficult political race challenging incumbent Congressman Dan Lundgren, who, in my view, defines knuckle-dragging Neanderthal Republican over there in District 3 in the Sacramento area. Dr. Durston, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you.
And I first learned about you from Jim Dean at Democracy for America.
Oh, great.
And I know that you've been embraced by them, and you've done pretty well in their online tally. Is that right?
Well, we were endorsed by PDA, Progressive Democrats of America.
Mm-hmm.
And waiting for an official endorsement from Democracy for America.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're a medical doctor, and you served in Vietnam.
That's right. I joined the Marines out of high school. That was in 1967, which was at the peak of the Vietnam War. And I served as an enlisted man. I went to Vietnam with the 3rd Force Marines Recon, and was in combat on the ground in Vietnam from February of 1968, which was the height of the Tet Offensive,
right,
until March of 1969. Then when I got back, got out of the service, I went to UC Berkeley and studied biochemistry, became a pre-med student, went to UC San Francisco, did my medical training there, initially went into internal medicine and then emergency medicine. I've been practicing as emergency medicine here in the Sacramento area for the last 23 years.
So you're on the front lines of our problems with health care, health insurance, and the real burden on working Americans that has been shifted more and more onto our shoulders in the last 5 years alone.
Absolutely. I mean, in the emergency department, we treat everybody regardless of their ability to pay in the emergency department. But we see patients who come in too late because they haven't been able to get preventive care or primary care, and then when we send patients out, if they don't have some form of medical insurance, then we're never sure they're going to get the care they need or even the medication they need. I work at Kaiser Permanente, so a lot of our patients are on the health plan, and they're different. We know they'll get the care they need, but we also see patients from without insurance or other types of insurance, and then it's a lot more iffy. I think your listeners probably already know the United States is the only industrialized Western country that doesn't have some form of universal health care for all its citizens, and yet we paid 2 to 3 times more per capita for health care as compared with the rest of the industrialized world.
If we get you into Congress, what will you do to modify the Medicare prescription drug benefit plan?
You know, the big problem with that, beside all the paperwork and the big gap between the $2,000 and $3,000 benefit where there's no benefit. The donut hole, exactly, mm-hmm, is the fact that it is written by the drug companies and for the drug companies, and the bill specifically prohibits the government from using its purchasing power to leverage down prescription drug costs, and that makes no sense at all. If we have government of the people, by the people, and for the people would want to use their collective bargaining power to leverage down drug costs, and then we could get the same type of prescription drug costs as they do in Canada. But because this bill was written essentially for the drug industry, that was written into the law that that purchasing power cannot be used to leverage down costs. So the obvious first simple thing to do is to change that part of the law. Say, yes, the government can use its purchasing power to leverage down prescription drug costs if they're two companies make an equivalent drug, negotiate for the lowest rate. And also when there's a generic version of a drug and another brand version of the drug that costs much more, not include the brand version on the formulary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly agree with you, and those are pretty straightforward steps that should have been part of the original legislation. But due to the K Street Project, one-party rule, and the way Republicans have permitted lobbyists from affected industries to essentially write the bills or have an improper role in the development of legislation, well, these are the kinds of things we come up with. We're talking with Dr. Bill Durston, candidate for Congress in California's number 3 congressional district. That's in the Sacramento area. We're on the air at KSAC 1240 Talk City in Sacramento. So I hope you'll pay close attention. And the website is up and available at Durston, D-U-R-S-T-O-N, DurstonForCongress.org. That's DurstonForCongress.org. Doctor, what is your take on Dan Lundgren and his vulnerabilities?
Well, I think he's very vulnerable in a lot of areas. The major area, the reason that I got involved in this originally, was on the war issue. I was the Sacramento chapter of Physicians for Social Responsibility. PSR was started back in the 1960s when we were being asked to build bomb shelters in our backyards as a response to the threat of nuclear war. And Physicians for Social Responsibility pointed out that that's ridiculous, but there are going to be no survivors of a nuclear exchange between the Soviet Union and the United States. And got together with other similar organizations around the world and helped form International Physicians for Prevention of Nuclear War, which won the 1985 Nobel Peace Prize. We subsequently also branched out into environmental issues, firearm injury prevention, and here in California, universal health care. But our local chapter issued a press release against the war in Iraq before it began, pointing out what, again, I think all of your listeners knew at the time, and which our legislators should have known and our administration should have known, and that is that Iraq posed no credible threat to the United States. An invasion would certainly not guarantee replacing Saddam Hussein with a stable democracy. There'd be a tremendous loss of life, tremendous waste of money, and we would enrage the rest of the world and increase rather than decrease the risk of terrorism.
Well, I certainly understand that, and I support your point of view, and I think it should be the official policy of the Democratic Party. But yes. I'm hoping that progressive challengers like you will help pave the way for shifts and movement by the incumbents and the elected leadership. We're seeing a little bit of movement in that direction. I'm modestly encouraged, but I'd like to see a whole lot more.
Right.
Now, Dr. Durston, I happen to know Dan Lundgren. I've been doing radio shows in California for a long time, and when he was a congressman in the 80s and teamed up with the Reagan administration on a number of very extreme conservative measures, including what was then viewed as a hard-line take on immigration reform. He then served as Attorney General for 2 terms here in California, where I interacted with him on a fairly regular basis, and then he failed in his race for governor a few years later. He is a smart guy. He's ruthless. He is a very clever debater who knows how to, try to throw his opponent off footing, and he's going to be a difficult opponent for you. I hope he will debate you, but I doubt that he will, knowing how he operates. Has he agreed to any public debates?
Yes, he has. In fact,
really?
Yes, absolutely. This past Saturday, he held a so-called town hall forum, which I call Lundgren infomercials, in Rio Vista. I had challenged him to a debate back in another town hall forum on March the 20th. That was just a private conversation. He said, yes, I will debate you. I pointed out to him at the time that I felt that these town hall forums were a misuse of public finances. He uses public money to send out glossy flyers, do the robo-dialing, and finance the meeting itself. And basically, it's political grandstanding is what it is. But at the town hall meeting 2 days ago, he said publicly that he would debate me. Going back to his vulnerabilities on the war issue, Lundgren and I are approximately the same age. He was very pro-war on the war in Vietnam. He's very pro-war on the war in Iraq. He never served in the military.
Yeah.
He got a student deferment initially, and somehow that was converted to a 4F deferment when the student deferments ran out. He's made statements, for example, that when he was a congressman from Long Beach, he could see in the eyes of his Southeast Asian constituents that they were disappointed that we had left them behind in Vietnam, to which I replied, when I was on the ground in Vietnam, I could see that those people didn't want us there, and we know the same is true of the people in Iraq.
Very well put. Let's take a call. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air with Dr. Bill Durston.
Hey, Dr. Bill Durston. I try to ask of every good candidate for Congress that I run across how much you are aware of what a threat to democracy is this voting machines. And if you're not, maybe the next half hour you want to listen to on this program.
Yeah, I think it's what Stalin said. It doesn't matter who votes it, it's who counts the votes.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you put the votes into a black box and somebody potentially on the other side has control of what comes out of that black box, obviously that is an extreme threat to our democracy. People talk about a paper trail. You know, I don't know that it necessarily has to be a paper trail, but it should be something like where you make a deposit at the ATM and you've got your PIN number. You make the deposit, and then you can always either call the bank or you can electronically contact the bank to make sure that the deposit went in as you submitted it. And we should have that same type of system for the electronic voting.
And on that note, I've been using ATM machines, I call them automatic 20 machines, for 15 or 20 years.
Right.
And I have never received more money than I asked for, and I have never received less money than I asked for. Every deposit I've made has been properly credited. And if Diebold, which started out making safes and then moved into ATM machines, could give us the same level of confidence from voting machines, hey, I'd be all for them. But
absolutely,
they don't.
Absolutely. I mean, the technology cannot be that complicated. And, you know, it should be as simple a matter as doing a random check of a certain percentage of the voters to ensure that, yes, everybody had their vote registered as they voted.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any concerns about District 50, the Bill Bray-Busby race?
You know, I'm just following that from afar, so I don't know the details on that, but I understand the problem of the voting machines being taken home. And the
sleepovers, yes.
Yeah, possible for them being manipulated. I don't know the details of that well enough to comment terribly intelligently on that.
Understood. Dave, a follow-up?
Well, I believe our very democracy is at stake on this particular issue, and I would, if I were you, bring it up in any debates, every chance that you have a soapbox, because if they don't clean up those crooked voting machines, we're letting Diebold decide our elections for us.
Thank you, Dave. We're going to take a break here and return with Dr. Bill Durston, candidate for Congress in California District 3. You're welcome to call with a question or comment. Lines are open now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll-free, 888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on AM 540.
It's because my music was still there, yeah.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale at a new time. Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540, KRXA.
Hello.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic. 449 now, and here's Pat McAllister.
In Boulder Creek, it's a fatality crash. This is northbound on 9. The northbound lane's blocked. They're scurrying to get things clear near Skyline Boulevard, but because there is a death involved, it's going to take a while. Watsonville, that head-on crash on 129 still there, Murphy Crossing Road. It happened in the 2 o'clock hour. They are in the clearing stages, but they haven't quite mustered it yet. That escape from Silicon Valley, well, 101 southbound, slow, the 880 to 13th in San Jose, and 280 southbound, slow from Meridian Avenue out to Guadalupe Parkway. Good news, the Salinas stall is gone, but you're still slow for Highway 1 as you make that drive, kind of a moderate pace, past Monterey Peninsula College and out toward Aguajita Road. This update brought to you by River Rock Casino. Sign up for Players Club Card at River Rock Casino in July and play your way for free gas. It's the gas and cash giveaway. Your play can get you $25.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
I'm your humble host, Peter B., here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Dr. Bill Durston, a Democratic candidate for Congress in District 3 in California, taking on incumbent Republican Dan Lundgren in the November election. And Dr. Durston, are you able to nationalize these the campaign issues, and can you actually run against the failed Bush presidency, or do you have to work this issue by issue? Some people who oppose the war, some people concerned about the deficits and the failure to properly manage the economy, others more concerned about health care and more personal issues.
Well, I think it's probably a combination of both, Peter. Fortunately, in one regard, Lundgren has just been in lockstep with the Bush administration. He defends Bush on the domestic spying issue, goes along with them on pretty much everything. So I can use that and use people's dissatisfaction with Bush to, you know, highlight the national issues. And as you've been talking about, really the erosion of the checks and balances in our government, the abuse of power by the executive branch, and the failure of Congress to stop that abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
There are local issues as well. Flood control is a big issue.
Sure.
In the Sacramento area. Lundgren touts the fact that Congress has given approximately $80 million for local flood control. Well, Governor Schwarzenegger, whatever you think of him, has stated probably accurately that we need $3 billion from the federal government to bring our levee system and flood control up from a grade D level on an A to F scale to an acceptable level.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gotten about 2% of the amount of money we need. $3 billion, which is the amount we need, is the amount we spend in Iraq in approximately 1 week.
Yeah. And as you look at the picture, one of the real challenges you face is that the redistricting that originally made that a safe seat for Doug Osay has made this a difficult seat for a Democrat to capture. The registration there favors Republicans by 8 or 9 points. Am I correct?
Actually, it's only 7% percentage points.
You're an optimist.
Well, but there are also 20% who are declined to state. So it's roughly 36% Democrat, 43% Republican, 1 or 2% other, and 20% declined to state. So it is very winnable. We are running a grassroots campaign. We already have over 700 volunteers. We've been traveling throughout the district, which extends, by the way, all the way from the San Francisco Delta to the Nevada border. So it's very rich geographically, culturally, as far as the types of employment and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that we will beat him on a grassroots campaign because people, well, I quote the Greek philosopher Plato, who said, either participate in the political process or be ruled by your inferiors.
Yeah.
And throughout the district, we are finding people who have not been active in politics up to this time who are becoming active because they are tired of being ruled by their inferiors.
I don't wish to disagree with you because I want you to succeed, but I am also a realist. And I spent some time during the primary working to help Pete McCloskey in the Republican primary in District 11 knock off Richard Pombo.
Yep.
And in that case, I felt that McCloskey had some advantages. He's clean as a whistle and has a track record to prove it. Pombo is not. And Pombo's connections to Abramoff and DeLay, his anti-environmental positions and the cronyism with his family, you know, intervening with federal regulators to try to help his parents in the wind farm business and the siting of a new interstate highway on land or adjacent to land that they own. None of that appeared to gain traction with Republican voters in the district that's not too far from yours, and the composition is not totally different. So how will you respond to that lesson and try to reach some of those declined-to-state voters and possibly some disaffected Republicans with your message this fall?
Well, yeah, that's the $64,000 question. One advantage I have here is that in contrast to Pombo, who's lived in that area forever and his relatives are there and they hold real estate holdings throughout that district, Lundgren just moved into this district 2 years ago.
That's right.
To run for this open seat. So he's
The carpet bag is still warm.
The carpet bag is still partially laundry probably hanging out the zipper there. but basically, you know, it's going to be a person-to-person, face-to-face campaign. I just got drafted into this in February. I was practicing emergency physician, president of Sacramento Chapter of Physicians for Social Responsibility with no idea of running for politics. But in just that short time, and until the end of May, I was still practicing 80% of the time as an emergency physician. But in that short of time, we've contacted thousands of people, and we've gotten virtually everywhere a very warm reception. I've been to several of these Lundgren town hall meetings now. This was the third 2 days ago. And the tone at the meetings is gradually changing from basically being all the Lundgren choir to having a lot more doubters.
Yeah.
We're going to follow him with town hall meetings everywhere he goes of our own. And plus, he did agree in public 2 days ago to a series of debates.
Well, that's excellent because that's where you might be able to gain some ground on him.
Right.
Bill Durston, let me turn to one other set of issues. Many Democrats appear to be scared to death of Russ Feingold's censure resolution and the more severe punishment that many progressives feel this administration deserves, which is impeachment of both the president and vice president. Where do you stand on those issues?
You know, there is no doubt in my mind that President Bush and Dick Cheney have committed impeachable offenses. And, again, I guess being new and naive to politics, it doesn't frighten me a bit.
Oh, good. Good.
And I don't consider that, you know, extreme or radical. The impeachment process is one of the checks and balances built into the Constitution,
yes,
which was very, very carefully thought out by the founders of our country. And when a president violates federal law in spying on his own people, when he disregards the United States Constitution and the Geneva Convention and holding these prisoners indefinitely without trial, and when he knowingly misleads Congress and the American people into a war that was started on entirely false pretenses, there's no question but that he should be impeached. a lot of people misunderstand impeachment, of course, to mean removal from office.
Right.
Impeachment process begins in the House.
It's the indictment.
It's an indictment, exactly.
Right.
And then
yeah.
the trial...
We're tight for time here, Doctor,
okay.
So I want to thank you, and I would just sum it up with this little rhyme. Clinton lied, semen dried. Bush lied, soldiers died.
Exactly.
So thank you for your candidacy. Thanks for joining us today. I want to direct people to durstonforcongress.org, spelled D-U-R-S-T-O-N. And there's a button you can click if you're in a position to contribute. I'm sure you could help him. Thank you, Dr. Bill Durston. We'll talk again before November.
Thanks very much.
Coming up next, Brad Friedman checks in on the hand count in District 50 and the Free Speech Zone 2.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Safety Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org.
Probably Scott put it in the system.
Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
In this next segment, we'll talk to Brad. And I'll hit the
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Good.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
We have a train wreck that's not waiting to happen.
Dr. John Sefran of the American Cancer Society on a warning that the consequences of smoking will be far worse than they have been, and they've been pretty bad. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
The American Cancer Society, in a book called The Cancer Atlas, says the number of deaths attributed to smoking in the 20th century was 100 million, and this century that will rise to 1 billion. Why the tenfold increase? Mainly the rise in population. In this report, the World Health Organization comments that strong anti-smoking education might prevent some of those deaths, maybe 2 million cancer deaths a year, later maybe 6 million a year. The number of people on this planet who smoke? 1.25 billion. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in the elderly, but new research finds there are factors that can raise or lower the risk.
Two of those factors are cigarette smoking, which increases the risk by almost twofold, and also a behavior that can decrease the risk, and that is eating a healthy diet, particularly one that contains omega-3 fatty acids.
Dr. Joanna Seddon of the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Infirmary. In her study of 681 elderly men, those who got the most benefit ate more fish like salmon, which is rich in omega-3 fatty acids, and ate fewer baked goods and foods cooked in vegetable oils, which have harmful omega-6 fatty acids. President Bush has yet to cast his first veto, but the time may be coming. Political adviser Karl Rove told the Denver Post editorial board today that Mr. Bush is likely to reject a Senate bill that would expand federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. The president, he said, is emphatic about this. The UN Security Council, with the support of the Bush administration, has postponed a vote on sanctions for North Korea. China has sent a diplomatic mission to Pyongyang, and State Department spokesman Sean McCormick says they want to give that a chance.
Right now, we are focused on the diplomacy in the region. I think that that's the center of gravity right now. But at some point, if that doesn't bear fruit, then certainly the Security Council track is an option that continues to be viable.
In the 1940s and 50s, June Allison was a star of Hollywood's movie musicals.
Here is the drag. See how it goes. Down on your heels, up on your toes. That's the way to do the varsity drag.
That's her in the 1947 film Good News. There's sad news now. June Allison has died after a long illness. She was 88.
There was no ambiguity about June Allison. She was the girl next door, and I think she played that role very well in the movies with a genuineness that I think was the cause of great affection among her audience.
Peter Rayner is film critic for the Christian Science Monitor. On Wall Street today, the Dow up 12 points to 11,103. The Nasdaq lost 13. This is CBS
Very
News.
Good. Where do you want to be?
I'll bet you a dollar if we look on Remax.com, we'll just find Remax listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. Remax, Remax, somebody else, somebody else.
Looks like all the listings to me.
Why would Remax do that?
To give us consumers what we want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool.
Just like you.
Yeah, thanks, but you still owe me a dollar.
Find your perfect place. It's easier than ever at Remax.com. Nobody sells more real estate than Remax. Each office independently owned and operated.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And there's only one way to stop them. With Barracuda Network's spam, spyware, and IM firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
Two space shuttle astronauts made their second of three spacewalks today. CBS News correspondent Peter King followed that.
It was a mostly smooth spacewalk with a couple of rough edges, like an astronaut's emergency jetpack that became unlatched. The spacewalkers trying to wrestle a big cable reel assembly into its proper place.
Great job, guys.
That led to this question.
Okay, what else could happen, man?
Don't ask.
Bottom line is that the cable connections look good for the rail car that'll be used to build out the station. And as for that jetpack, mission managers say it wasn't a big deal. They say a second latch did stay in place. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The Rolling Stones resume their European tour in Italy tomorrow. It had to be postponed when 62-year-old lead guitarist Keith Richard fell out of a tree while on vacation in Fiji. He needed surgery to relieve pressure on his brain. Asked what he's done since, Richard answered, "I recovered." He said 6 weeks is not bad for a brain job. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The Michelin Man wants you to join him in the pursuit of driving pleasure. And he's willing to offer a financial incentive. Right now, you can get a $50 mail-in rebate when you purchase a set of four new Michelin MX Series Touring tires. Visit your Michelin dealer from July 1st to July 31st to maximize the enjoyment of your car and get a $50 mail-in rebate. To find a Michelin dealer near you, visit MichelinMan.com. Michelin, a better way forward.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn, and
dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed. Compared to OTC pain relievers.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm glad, because otherwise I'd just be sitting here talking to myself. It's time for today's Free Speech Zone. Lines available, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. You know the rules. We take calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Yeah, vote for me, and if it's counted, I'll set you free. To kick off our Free Speech Zone today, we want to check in with Brad Friedman. He's the proprietor of bradblog.com, our go-to guy on election issues. Hello again, Brad.
Hey, Peter. How are you, my friend?
Not bad for a Monday. We're making it through. How about you?
Is it Monday?
Yeah.
I've lost track.
Well, you're leading that code writer lifestyle now where, you know, the daylight is just, well, an inconvenience in so many cases.
That's true. As
well, Brad,
is eating and sleeping.
Bring us up to speed, because when we last left this saga on Friday afternoon, you had found a voter in San Diego County who has filed a legitimate petition for a hand count of the June 6th election in which Brian Bilbray allegedly defeated Francine Busby by about 7,000 votes. And you have raised, among others, along with others, serious questions about the security and validity of this election. And as of Friday, you were having a hard time getting a firm quote on what it would cost for the Registrar of Voters in his office to conduct this hand count. Have you been able to nail that down during the business hours today on Monday?
Yeah, well, a firm quote did show up over the weekend on Saturday. Gail Jacobson, Barbara Gail Jacobson, the woman who filed for the hand count after concerns that the voting machines were sent home with poll workers for sleepovers days and weeks prior to the election.
Mm-hmm.
She got a response from the registrar's office who told her that she needs to give $6,000 to the registrar by 3 p.m. tomorrow for a count which will then begin Wednesday morning, I guess, after an 8 a.m. meeting to discuss the count. Now, what he hasn't done, what Michael Haas has not done, is provided any of the documentation that Jacobson had asked for in her original filing, including chain of custody logs for the machines and the ballots and so forth. And notably, by the way, he also has not even provided the 1% manual, the details from the mandatory 1% manual audit, which should have already occurred. So we're having trouble getting any actual details from the registrar's office other than the money that they would like to charge. Now, with that in mind, this letter on Saturday was officially the third different price that was quoted concerning a recount in this race. An assistant registrar a few days earlier had said the price would be $110,000 to $130,000 for a full count at a cost of $6,000 a day. But then the a day or two later, the North County Times down in San Diego reported another spokesman at the registrar said it would be $2,000 to $3,000 a day instead of $6,000 a day. And then finally, as Registrar Haas's official letter showed up on Saturday, they said the cost would be, he said the cost would be as much as $150,000 at a cost of $6,000 a day. So it seems to be who you ask and who it is they're talking to. They're telling the voters one number, and then they're telling the media about half that price. And even at half that price, it's still higher than virtually anywhere else we've been able to find in California at nearly a dollar a vote at those numbers. Meanwhile, down in Orange County, I think they're charging something like 14 cents a vote. So they seem to be playing a whole bunch of games here, not giving the documentation that's requested. I got to tell you, Peter, it's all very strange and kind of stinks to high heaven. I think you might agree.
I can smell it from here.
Yeah.
Now, the $6,000 that is due tomorrow by 3 p.m., that's essentially a down payment?
We don't know. I mean, his letter basically said, $6,000 deposit, but he doesn't explain what it is for, what it is meant to pay for, how they've come up with these charges. And Jacobson is currently preparing a reply to Haas, pretty much asking exactly those questions. What the heck are these charges for? But more notably, where is the information that was requested? Because in these cases, the voter has the right to ask for the count to happen in the order that she prefers it to happen. So she would say, you know, oh, this precinct is questionable. I would like to count this one first, and so on and so forth. But she has absolutely, at this time, no information whatsoever to go with to make that informed judgment that, by law, she's entitled to make.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brad, we put out the fundraising appeal on Friday. I got confirmation from a number of listeners, including one guy who I won't embarrass by naming, but he's an attorney in Monterey who coughed up $250 and tells me that he has a law school buddy in San Diego who's also made a contribution. So we know some money came in. Did you get $6,000, and do you have enough to make that first payment tomorrow?
Well, and bless you and all of those folks who stopped by. Right now it's velvetrevolution.us that is collecting the funds for this. What we have received at this time, I'm one of the co-founders at Velvet Revolution. The last I checked, it was somewhere around $9,000.
Great.
Now that will cover that $6,000 if that occurs, because at this point, you know, counting is something sort of blindly doesn't make a lot of sense. But we also have the costs here as we're trying to bring in an attorney to handle all of this. And and will need to make a $10,000 payment for a retainer to get someone on this. I mean, you know, frankly, people need to know, you know, the DNC and whoever else is not sending either attorneys or money at this time. This is an effort by a bunch of grassroots folks trying to get some accountability on what the hell is going on with their elections and their voting machines, and in particular in this race being the first federal election of the year and a bellwether special election, a bellwether for this November's general elections when we'll have 435 of these happening at the same time.
So if you haven't already donated, please go to velvetrevolution.us. That's velvetrevolution.us. And if you click on the button that says Please Donate to VArts in the upper right-hand corner, it takes 90 seconds. I did it myself on Friday, and I encourage you to be as generous as you can to help this effort.
It's greatly appreciated. Let me just add that those funds at this time, as all of this is being sorted out, may either go to the attorneys, may go to the count or the hand count. At this time, the theories and the legal jockeying is going on, and funds are needed to support this entire effort. So I don't want anybody to be upset if a hand count doesn't end up happening or if they pay for an attorney and the funds end up going towards a hand count. It is for the entire associated effort here, trying to get some accountability down in San Diego.
Well, and we appreciate that. We understand the fluidity of it and that you're not exactly calling all the shots there.
That's right.
I got a caller for you, Howard from Monterey. Let's put him up here. Howard, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Thank you, Peter B. I think you know, people are talking about a lot of different issues, you know, the war and education and Medicare and all of that, and what they completely lose sight of is that without honest voting machines, without an honest election process, none of these issues matters any more than just blowing hot air around. What we're talking about.
Well, excuse me, as a hot air blower, I take offense at that. But you're right.
I'm sorry. I love to listen to your program, and I agree with you on most of the issues. But if the voting machines are as badly skewed as the neocons have attempted and continue to do since Florida with elections and throwing likely Democratic voters off the rolls and disenfranchising blacks and all of that, and then monkeying with the election machines, what difference does it make what we vote for, what they decide? What they have, whatever they decide is the winner, and what we vote for matters not a whit.
Well, I share your view, Brad.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Howard. And you know, I want to sort of give some kudos here to Peter B. because he, aside from having me on every Friday, you know, has been covering this issue about as closely as anybody on the radio or the TV. Anywhere, bringing in registrars of voters and other folks who have been involved in this, that's you underscore, Howard, exactly the point that I've been trying to make and why, frankly, at bradblog.com we've had to devote so much time to issues of electoral integrity because all of the other ones don't matter.
Where's the DNC on this? They aren't speaking up.
Well, I hope that will soon be changing, but you're right. At this time, they are not, and that's very troubling because, boy, we sure could use some help out here.
Yeah.
Really.
All right, Howard, thanks for the call. Brad,
thank you.
Keep up the good work there.
Program.
Okay, thank you, Howard. Velvet Revolution.
Catherine Cryer on this tomorrow night, just so you know.
Catherine Cryer's covering it tomorrow again?
Covering Busby, Bilbray, and Clint Curtis, I'm told.
Okay, very good. And, Brad, you'll check in from Democracy Fest in San Diego on Friday?
I will indeed.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Bulletins as they break. Bring them on.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Brad Friedman, log on to bradblog.com. Donate at velvetrevolution.us. Let me say that again. Velvetrevolution.us. I'm sorry. Eddie Murphy permanently damaged my ability to say Vevet. He had a character named Vevet Jones, you may remember. We'll be back with calls in the Free Speech Zone coming up next. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I've run out of music. Go ahead and hit it, Carl.
This week on Rock Roll Real Estate, meet John Brown, president of Brown Developments. John is an investor, author, and produces a weekly TV show. If you're an investor, listen this week. John will have some hot tips for you on some great real estate opportunities. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Roll Real Estate, heard on this station and all over Northern California. You can also listen online at rockrollinrealestate.com. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 takes a look at traffic. 520 now on the ride home. And in Metro traffic, we check in with Pat McAllister.
There's an update, Peter, on the Boulder Creek crash. The fatality, it is the southbound lanes of 9 that the CHP confirming for me are blocked right now. This is at Skyline Boulevard. And some relief for Watsonville. The head-on crash, 129 Murphy Crossing Road, finally cleared to that right-hand shoulder. You've got a sluggish one, Highway 156 slow between Castroville and San Juan Bautista out toward Lucy Brown Lane. Pillows on 101 southbound near the Chittenden Road. San Juan Highway loop to the right-hand lane. Your KRXA update brought to you by the Toyota Avalon. The Toyota Avalon with an EPA estimated 31 miles per gallon on the highway. And all the little extras you desire. Avalon, where luxury meets fuel efficiency. Pat McAllister with traffic on KRXA 540.
Fabulous, Pat. We'll talk to you in about half an hour.
All right.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're knee-deep now in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are most welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint. You can call from anywhere. Clothing is optional, by the way. If you want to check in from a nudist camp somewhere, we have no objection. My number on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll free from elsewhere, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Maybe you want to talk about the ongoing issues related to voting machines. Brad Friedman's work there in California District 50. VelvetRevolution.us.
is the website if you'd like to contribute to the hand count or the legal expenses. We're not sure exactly what's going to happen next, but the deadline is 3 p.m. tomorrow to lay out $6,000 to qualify or at least begin to fund the hand count that has been requested. We also talked with a guy who, well, on first impression, comes off really well, Dr. Bill Durston, medical doctor, Vietnam vet, running as a Democrat against Dan Lundgren in California District 3. I was pleased to have Professor Juan Cole on our program today from the University of Michigan, a real bright, well-informed, and progressive view on the situation in the Middle East. We also talked to Robert Dreyfus about some of those same issues and Jameson Foser about the media's performance in recent weeks. So any of those are up for grabs, or you can bring on a topic of your own. 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540. You got it? Good. Ken from Monterey, you're up first here. Good afternoon. It's Peter B.
Good afternoon. I don't know if I'm living in the here and now, but on 60 Minutes last night, they had a U.S. Army soldier who deserted to North Korea somewhat 40, 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I believe they said that he was released from U.S. custody after spending 26 months in jail.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get to see the report, so I'm vaguely aware of the story. I don't recall the gentleman's name.
I don't remember his name. I read the story several years ago when it first came out. But I think that 26 months or a short period of time for desertion in time of war is just absolutely ludicrous.
What do you think the appropriate sentence would be?
Desertion?
Mm-hmm.
As a veteran, 30 years, I would have shot him.
Mm-hmm.
He left his men. He led them on a patrol, and he just left them and warned, and with forethought, he went to North Korea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I respect your opinion. I personally, you know, I don't support the death penalty. I do think, though, in a military situation, it's made very clear what the penalties are for that type of desertion. And so I really wouldn't try to persuade you otherwise, Ken. What I would say is that a lot of time has passed, and you could make the case that he suffered a great deal over the last 45 years as he was essentially, you know, on the lam. And I've never lived in North Korea, but it doesn't seem like a great place to spend your exile. So I have some sense of compassion about that, but I'm going to defer to you because you're the man who served, and you're certainly entitled to that opinion. David in Eureka, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for your call.
Hey, Peter B. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, let's wait till the end of the call, and then we'll see if you still think it was a pleasure.
Well, even if you disagree with me, Mr. Peter B., it's going to be a pleasure. I really enjoy your show and your point of view.
Thanks.
I'm calling because I have maybe a differing point of view on Israel than a lot of folks do.
All right.
I've called you a few times on environmental issues. I'm an environmental educator.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I called you, I identified myself as a Holocaust survivor's child.
Mm.
So I'm coming from a point of view. I tried to get through to talk to your guest from University of Michigan. I attended the University of Michigan, and
really?
I loved it. I thought I was a part of a center of a lot of information in the world.
You're an Ann Arbor guy then.
Yeah, I'm from Ann Arbor. I love
mm-hmm.
it. I don't really share a lot of the views of your guests, though.
Okay.
And I just want to put this out, see what you have to say. It's a different point of view.
Sure.
As a Holocaust survivor's son, I do look at things from a certain point of view. I have to honor that. At the same time, I have to also honor the fact that the whole scene that went down that's called the Holocaust, that was a capitalization on something that has been going on for perhaps 1,000 years, certainly hundreds of them. The folks who live in Israel are afraid, and their attitude is never again. And what just happened there is pretty rough for the folks who live there. They're thinking, okay, it must have taken these folks at least 2 months to tunnel underneath, come behind us and do what they did, and they're scared. And their attitude is, well, we're kind of small and, you know, we're afraid. And we really don't want to get wiped out. And they're looking at the Hamas government, who has basically vowed the destruction of Israel.
Yeah.
And they're remembering in the past when Jimmy Carter from the 70s went to Arafat in Egypt and then tried to broker a peace deal. He was assassinated, and the Israelis did not assassinate him. So these folks are looking at the situation going, wow, we're scared, we want to exist. And this is my point, and I'll just say it, and I'm really interested to hear your feedback because, again, I really respect your opinion, Mr. Peter B., and most of those folks that you have on your show. So here's what I want to say. The Israelis are afraid that they're going to get destroyed, and they really don't want to.
Yeah.
So where does, you know, at a certain point you have to realize, a lot of folks in America don't realize that the past month, there was a lot of rockets fired into Israeli cities.
It's true.
These Israelis are wondering, do the rest of the world believe we have a right to exist or not?
All right,
and
David,
that's the
David
key.
You've made an excellent point.
And
I need to take a commercial break.
And if
you'll hold, on through the break, we'll come back and talk about this
you,
a little
Peter
more.
B.
All right, stand by. Give me a call, 888-579-2540. Free speech right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate?
So has David hung on there?
Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquor's knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquor specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Past the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And we're in the free speech zone here. We're taking your calls. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Or toll free from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And that includes you people listening online in exotic locations. You can call us at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And anytime, day or night, you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And there we have the living Elvis, Elvis Costello. And we return to David in Eureka. David, thanks for holding on through the break.
Well, thank you, Peter.
And let me tell you that, first of all, I deeply respect the position that you hold and the way that you expressed it. You did it without shortchanging other people, without expressing hate or anger or a sense of vengeance. And I appreciate that because I think you and I would agree that the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians is one that is deep, it is complex, and in many respects it defies understanding by outsiders.
I agree impeccably. Peter, what happened when it got established as the State of Israel is still a mystery to me. Hey, I'm not quite 40 years old, and when I look back at what happened, I realize that the people who lived there before the Israelis moved in are probably shocked and awed.
Yeah.
Well, and horrible terminology. I'm sorry I used it.
Let me give you an example.
The Israelis really needed a place to go.
I understand
and
that.
What was going on at the time was, hey, here's where you get to go. The Americans and the British said to go there.
Right.
And this is important for folks to understand. It's not about, hey, straight Zionism where Jews wanted to take over somebody's land. There's more going on. And what was really happening was these folks were getting slaughtered. They were scared. Mm-hmm. And now they're operating from a position of, it's quasi-paranoia. I mean,
David, hold on just a second. Let me say a couple of things.
I'm done. I want to hear you.
First of all, I have met Palestinian families where the grandmother still has the key to the front door of the house that she was evicted from to make room for Jewish families before Israel was a state. And she had been promised the right of return to that home someday.
By who?
And she's still waiting.
By who?
It was the British who facilitated that and who, you know, made room for Jewish refugees as they entered after World War II.
Now, so, again, as a humanist first, believe me, I feel that.
Right. And
I
what
really
we have
do.
Here is this complex history, and depending on where you come into the picture and your, you know, kind of existing bias, it's very easy to take the position that Israel has acted out of its self-defense right and out of its overarching desire to provide a secure homeland for Jews from all over the world. And that is a completely understandable and rational...
And if life was in a vacuum, everything would be fine.
...rational desire on their part. Where it gets complicated is that I see Israel, and this is the state of Israel. This is not a religion. This is not a, you know, it's not something anti-Semitic to disagree with the government of Israel.
And nor do I ever consider to accuse you of such.
And I don't think
I don't even consider anything near that from you, sir.
But David, consider that the state of Israel is using the very kind of tactics on Palestinians that were used on Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto, in the concentration camps of Germany,
all right, here,
and
Mr.
in
Peter
other
Cullen,
places around the world.
I have to say I agree with you, and here's where the problem is. They are, why I said quasi-paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of being destroyed. The term is never again. These folks don't want to be destroyed. They don't want to lose what it is that is their heritage.
Right.
The fact is, I'm on the fringe of that heritage. Here I live in, you know, America.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
Yeah.
At the same time, I understand that these folks are terrified. They're surrounded by folks who don't talk about, okay, you can hang out here, we can hang out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that simple. It's,
right,
as you just said, way more complicated.
And,
so these
and David,
folks are
David,
like, okay,
I want to make...
And they
make...
do, and I will say this to you, I will honor this. They
okay.
do things that I look at and go, God darn it, would
yeah.
you please mellow out?
Well,
at the
I,
same time,
I appreciate
this is my
that
point
because
and I want to
can...
say it. They're afraid not to seem strong. If, for instance, they allow, okay, we'll trade you prisoner for prisoner right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at, okay, we're weak, and we're so small, we can get overrun then. And that's where they're coming from. I'm not necessarily saying that's a good thing.
Okay. David, I got to stop you for a sec because I'm going to make one more point, and then I'll let you make another point. Then I got a bunch of callers I need to move on to. At this point in time, I believe that both parties need to step back and disengage. It's very difficult to do so because their daily lives are intertwined. Israel needs labor from Palestine. Palestine needs power, water, sustenance, you know, revenues that are collected by Israel on their behalf. And my biggest grief, my biggest gripe is with the United States government because we're not acting as an honest broker to try to pull these parties apart, stop the killing, and come up with a reasonable route to peace. Instead, we make, you know, we pay lip service to the Palestinians and their desire for a state, and we, you know, make lame attempts to get Israel to tone down some of its military activities. But everybody knows that the U.S. has tilted toward Israel, and this is the fundamental problem that has us at war in Iraq, Afghanistan, and as a party dragged into the dispute between Israel and Palestine. And until we recognize that and step back and not to disadvantage Israel, but to simply stop tilting so much in favor of Israel, to me, that is the only route to get out of the current conflict.
Mr. Collins, I agree with you almost, but not quite. And here's the issue.
Okay.
These folks are really scared. I don't believe that the United States necessarily supports Israel so much as it plays its policy. I completely agree with you on their policy.
Mm-hmm.
When you were speaking about Iraq, I'm terrified about what's going on there, and that's our policy, and the United States certainly uses Israel as a proxy, but I believe they're almost one of the thumbs. I honestly believe Israel has a right to exist, and my question to folks who are wondering about this is, what should Israel do when they're faced with I'm not sure if folks really realize what they're faced with,
mm-hmm.
in order to make sure that they're still there.
All right,
and
David,
that's
David,
a huge
David,
question.
David, hold on a second. I was going to move on to another caller, but the next caller wants to talk to you.
I'd be glad to talk to the
Lisa
next caller.
Lisa from Eureka. Let's conference both of them in, Carl. Lisa,
hey,
join us here.
I won't hang up. I'm right here. And again, Peter B., I really do respect your show. I've called you several times.
All right, I appreciate that. Now stop the ass-kissing. Lisa, join us. Hi, Lisa. Can you hear me? We're trying to pull up both callers here.
Well,
at the
I'm
same
still
time.
Right here.
Lisa's not
I'd
with
love
us.
To talk to Lisa
okay.
or anybody who would like to discuss this.
All right, David, we're going to put you back on hold, and let's see if Lisa will call back because we've
right
lost
here,
her
sir.
Line right now. So
again,
you stay
I,
there.
I really appreciate your show, sir.
My pleasure. Let's go to John from Humboldt, and Lisa, when you call back after the break, we'll put you on with David if all that works out. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hey there, Peter. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks.
Well, it sounds like, you know, that Middle East stuff is pretty complicated. I got a very simple question. Is he or isn't he? I'll ask the question and then look forward to your response. On Kenny Boy Lay, have you or anyone else actually seen autopsy photos of the gentleman? And I'll leave it to your your response, and I think you can hear my insinuation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I have not seen any autopsy photos. There was a statement issued by the coroner in Aspen, Colorado, saying that he found no indication of foul play. Many people are suspicious. So, John from Humboldt, you're not the only person who has asked this question. I don't have any meaningful answer at this point, only to say that I don't dismiss the question. Because Ken Lay was at the center of a huge scandal. Ken Lay was going to jail. Ken Lay didn't want to go to jail. And I believe he was doing everything he could to resist that and avoid it. That said, there is no indication so far that he made that 911 call to George W. Bush and asked for a pardon. That's what I would have done if I were Ken Lay. And so I share with you the curiosity, and I will certainly entertain the question as long as there's any reason to, try to pursue it. And if anybody can shed any light on that or has heard or read anything that is germane, give us a call and share it with us. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, 888-579-2540. Now, in the vagaries of radio talk show business, we have Lisa from Eureka, but we've lost David. So, David, you call us back, and let's talk to Lisa right now, and maybe we can put the two of you together in a minute. Hi, Lisa. You're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Go right ahead. I can hear you, Lisa. Yeah.
Just got squelched.
Well, that's the little noise you hear. We'll share this with our listeners. When you call a talk show and we get ready to put you on the air, just before you're on the air, there's a noise that sounds like
a vacuum.
Yeah. And that's your signal that you're actually on the air. It's very annoying, but that's how it works.
Well, it's a good thing you got something to let us know, because we could fall asleep, you know.
That's right.
So except when you're listening.
Give us the headline here, because we did get David back, but we don't have time to put him on before the break.
Okay, problem. I just have a couple of questions for him.
Uh-huh.
Number one, my family is, they're from Israel, from Germany and Russia, pre-Tsar and during World War II. So I'm a Holocaust surviving granddaughter, actually,
mm-hmm.
as well.
Okay.
I believe Israel has a right to exist, but I also believe Palestine has a right to exist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lisa, I got your drift. Hold on. And if all this works, we're going to come back after the break and put you and Dave on together, and we'll talk this out. I'm glad you're there. We'll pick up there in just a moment.
Great.
If you want to add to our conversation, do so. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. You're in touch with the Peter B. Collins Show.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Hi, Dan Brown, President of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports, including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic one more time on the ride home. Here's Pat McAllister.
There's good news ahead. You are in a fog-free commute if you're running the Coastline Marina out toward Monterey and down toward Carmel. Aptos tonight, Caltrans rolling out. It will be from 9 this evening to about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, and then that same pattern the rest of the week. Caltrans puttering on Highway 1 in the fast lane, Rio Del Mar Boulevard out to Freedom Boulevard, but they have taken the pledge they will only be there this week. This update brought to you by Sleep Train. Hurried in Sleep Train. It is the chance to sleep on approved credit free for 18 months with the purchase of any premium mattress set. Sleep Train, your ticket to a better night's sleep. Pat McAllister with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Things got better.
They did.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where respectful people can disagree respectfully, and I like that. Our lines are open if you'd like to join the conversation, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. Now, if you just joined us, this started with David in Eureka, who called us about half an hour ago, and offered some thoughtful reaction to earlier comments from Professor Juan Cole about the situation that has been aggravated into a military conflict on both sides between Israel and Palestine. And Lisa has joined us from Eureka. Both of you share a history, a family history related to the Holocaust, and I respect that in each case. And, Lisa, why don't you talk a little bit about the issues that Dave raised and how you agree or disagree?
Okay. David, you're there, too.
I think he's there. David?
Yeah, I'm here. I really appreciate hearing
this. We got you. Good. Go ahead, Lisa. All right, Lisa, go ahead. All right. Did we lose a caller?
Oh, it's terrible. She was right there.
Yeah, she was. Well,
I really did want to hear from her.
Yeah, she's going to call back. I know it. We have to give credit that Carl Wilford stepped in today to take over the controls because James Pena became a father last week. And Carl's a radio veteran who's doing a great job, but it's his first day on this show. And, you know, there's some glitches that occur, so we certainly understand that. And, Lisa, give us a call right back, and we will be able to hang up on you again.
You're hilarious, Mr. Collins. I have a couple comments I can give you.
Yeah, go right ahead while we wait for Lisa.
One of the things that your guest mentioned, which surprised me, was about how the United States' influence. He mentioned that we should not have allowed Hamas to run.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what to say about that.
Well, there were discussions. Abu Mazen actually asked to delay the Palestinian elections last year, and Bush said no. Are you aware of that?
I am now. And what really freaks me out, though, Mr. Collins, is that if we as Americans, which I am,
mm-hmm.
or as supporters of a certain government, and I have to admit I do support the right of Israel to exist.
That's fine. I do too, by the way.
Folks have to look at, hey, how's this going to work?
Mm-hmm.
And Abu Mazen wasn't going to work. It just wasn't going to work. If you look at how, if we're going to let Israel exist, it really does take looking back at the developmental history of it.
And okay, Lisa, hold on. We hear you there.
Within the developmental history of Israel that make folks take, you know, they look at it and they go, well, that wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm. This is what happens, though.
Okay, but David, before Abu Mazen, Israel and the United States declared Yasser Arafat irrelevant and sent a message that I think was misguided, that our approval is necessary for the Palestinian people to have an effective leader.
Exactly.
And I think that's counterproductive on the face of it. Now, we've got Lisa here.
Oh, good.
And the phones haven't dropped either of you yet.
Good.
So, Lisa, let me let you begin, and David, give her a respectful hearing, and then I'll give you a chance to reply.
I really appreciate it.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. I do respect Israel's right to exist, but I also respect Palestine's right to exist, that Israel has become the oppressor. I understand why they did what they did when they did it, but to continue this is wrong. And if the United States opinion matters so much, we need to state that. If our opinion doesn't matter and it should not matter, then these two countries could work this out. What is going on in places like the Gaza Strip and this woman that you were talking about, Peter, who has a key to her home that she was never allowed back in, is wrong. And this is a lot of stuff that the United States has had their hands in that we don't belong in, period.
All right, David?
Well, I fully respect, and I really do, everything I just heard. If you go ahead and honor what's called the right of return, a person, I don't mean you, I mean a person, if you look at it and go, hey, I'm going to honor the right of return, you're pretty much saying that's the destruction of Israel. And again, that's where I'm saying, do you believe that Israel has a right to exist? And that's
my question to you is, does Palestine have a right to
exist? The right of return doesn't really work, because you're talking about an overwhelming of folks who are not Israelis, who are not going to want to be Israelis, who are going to want to change it. And that is what the country is. So
okay, but what you're suggesting there, David, is that apartheid is the only way for these
two. Ooh, that
two
word is really rough, Mr. Peter B. Collins.
Yeah,
of course I hate it.
That's the word.
Of course I understand where you're coming from when you say it.
You're telling me that Israelis can only live with Israelis.
What I'm telling you is the place is so darn small, and if they go ahead and let a few million people come back to the spot, it's not going to be Israel. I mean, that's a reality, and that is a reality. That's part of folks looking at and going, are we going to think that Israel has a right to exist as a Jewish state, a place that is a bastion against anti-Semitism, which is how I first called you and mentioned, you know, kind of where I was coming from.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And again, I also pointed
out that
this is not my most important issue.
I understand. Hold on a second. Let's let Lisa respond. Go ahead.
I'm listening, and I agree with what he says. And see, that's the point. Most Americans will agree with both sides of the story. If you put 100 Americans together of all different nationalities, you're going to find that most of us agree. The bottom line is this: the United States of America financially supports the Israeli army. The Israeli army outnumbers the Palestinian army like 1 to 100 or more. You know, so you've got a people who are afraid on both sides, and innocents are the ones who lose. Civilians are the ones who lose. So until such time as we get out of this and we let them ratify their own spot, nothing's going to come good of this. Nothing good can come of this.
And Dave, I fully understand.
I really do agree with what I just
heard.
I really do agree with you.
Dave, we don't have time for all that. Hold on. I understand the point. And what we have seen here is that Israel claims that because Palestinian suicide bombers and rocket attacks have killed civilians, that they have the right to retaliate. And I think that's understandable. However, the Palestinians don't really have any choice. They are, you know, trapped like rats in a prison, a large one at that. But, you know, they don't have freedom of movement. They don't have much freedom whatsoever. And now their electricity and in turn, their water supplies have been knocked out. We'll get
just
to it.
Just one question.
And so my point is, at what time, at what juncture, do the Israelis take their boot off the windpipe of the Palestinians?
Immediately.
And say, we don't want any more violence. What do we do to solve this?
Again, Mr. Peter B. Collins, from where I'm coming from, immediately. At the same time, we got to look at the whole situation. It's not life in a vacuum. I sure wish this wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with you and the other caller more than you think. I just wanted to point out that right now the quiche is to go ahead and look at Israel as the oppressor. They're afraid, and that's the main point I wanted
but
to
so
make.
So are Palestinians.
They're afraid of being destroyed.
Well, and the Palestinians have even a greater fear. They don't have the United States on their side. They don't have basic functioning water, sewage,
healthcare. Here's the one point where I
healthcare.
Do disagree with you. They do have folks on their side. They do have backers. There are reasons why this is still going on. At the same time, I hate it. I hate it.
All right, David, I'm going to hang up on you. I want to give Lisa the final word here. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, well, I'm hanging up, too. I think I understand what he's saying. I agree with a lot of it, but...
Okay. Well, I want to thank you. I want to thank you both for coming forward. It's not easy, and I realize the emotions and the deep feelings that people have about this.
And I have a lot of respect for you as a mediator. Thank you very much.
Okay, Lisa. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
So I don't expect that on a radio program like this we can solve all of these problems, but over the last half hour, I feel that we had good dialogue from sincere people who have a real desire to see this conflict come to an end. And that's a start. And if we can spread that in our own daily lives to the people we come into contact with, we could be doing our part to bring this long-running conflict to some sort of positive resolution. It won't be easy. It may not even happen in the next year or two or five. But I'm not going to give up, and I hope David and Lisa won't either. Hey, Triggers here. I'm going to saddle up, head off into the sunset. We'll be back here same time, same station tomorrow. Hope you'll join me then. I'm Peter B.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until...
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fish is supposed to be brain food, but new research says it's also good for the eyes. CBS's Dr. Malika Marshall says two new studies have identified important risk factors in the leading cause of blindness among the elderly.
People who smoke are at a much higher risk of developing macular degeneration, and now it looks as though people who eat a diet rich in omega-3 fatty acids, in particular fish, are actually at a lower risk of developing macular degeneration.
Speaking of smoking, there's a startling warning today. CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonso has that.
Public health officials announced today tobacco could kill a billion people this century, 10 times the toll it took in the 20th century, and that the number of teenagers smoking is again on the rise.
We have a train wreck that's not waiting to happen.
John Seffrin heads the American Cancer Society. It's the first time in a decade the number of teen smokers grew, from about 21% in 2003 to 23% in 2005.
In the past 5 years, the amount of money tobacco companies spend on advertising has tripled. Experts point to a decline in anti-smoking efforts and an increase in smoking in the movies. Massachusetts today joined Vermont, New York, and California in requiring self-extinguishing cigarettes. They have special paper that's designed to go out when not being puffed to help prevent fires. A federal judge in Washington says the Justice Department is free to use material seized from Congressman William Jefferson's office in May. The Louisiana Democrat is the target of a bribery investigation. Outraged congressional leaders said the FBI overstepped its bounds by executing a search warrant on Capitol Hill, but Judge Thomas Hogan, who signed the warrant, ruled today that the search was legal. At least 15 people were injured in New York this morning, too seriously, when a four-story building on Manhattan's exclusive Upper East Side blew up.
I never heard such an explosion. Tremendous explosion.
Authorities say it was a gas explosion, possibly triggered by the building's owner, Dr. Nicholas Bartha. He was pulled from the debris badly hurt. Last week, a judge awarded the building to Bartha's wife as part of a divorce settlement. He sent her a threatening email talking suicide and saying, "You will be transformed from gold digger to ash and rubble digger."
The moon belongs.